Blog Talk Radio.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby our sight. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more do you from men? Can't you stand?
In my life, but there are things that I cannot forget and I cannot put down. I believe with all of my heart that the white man is the devil, and I must teach that he is the devil. I cannot back down from that. I must teach that he is the devil. All things that do to Allah, whether you like me or not, whether you accept me or not, whether you condemn me or not, whether you suspend me or not, the goddamn white man is the devil, and I will teach it from the cradle to the grave. Always teach it. Because I know that you are a fickle people. I know that you are a flip-flop, wishy-washy people. I know that you are different strokes for different folks, but it's different ways on different days. Oh, yes, you are. God damn it, if somebody don't continue to remind you, you'll try to walk in the slave theater with Susie Ron Wickle on your arm. Yes, you will. God damn it, sister, you'll try to come in here with Bob. Bill, Larry, sister will try to come in here with Merv, with Doug. God damn it, Doug can't come in. Cindy, Kathy, keep Heather the hell out of here. No Heather in here. Hell no. This is the Slave Theater. Well, why does Brother Alton Maddox leave the name Slave on it? Because, goddammit, we're still in the land of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party. Still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a Freedom Party. You don't see it. You're a slave. I'm a slave. And unless we admit that we are slaves, then we can never get free. Never get free. The first thing a slave must do is admit I'm in bondage. Admit I'm in captivity. Admit that I'm a slave and Giuliani is a slave master. Admit that I'm a slave and Clinton is a slave master. Admit that I'm a slave and Cuomo is a slave master. That's the only way you can get free. Stop walking around acting hip, slick, cute, and cool with hoochie and coochie and poochie and Gucci and all that stuff. You're a slave. You can't wait to get out of here and get a good night's sleep so you can go to your elevator plantation tomorrow. You're a slave. You're a slave to your car note. You're a slave to your rent. You're a slave to your lease. You're a slave to your telephone bill. You're a slave to your light bill, your gas bill. You're a slave. And God damn it, this is the Slave Theater, and all the radical slaves come here. The Nat Turner slaves come here. The Harriet Tubman slaves come here. The Denmark Beasley slaves come here. This is the Slave Theater. All praise be to Allah. This is the Slave Theater. I'm a slave. As I told Devil Hugh, Phil Devil Hugh, I say I'm one of the rebellious slaves. I'm not a peaceful slave. I'm not a compromising slave. I'm not a skinning, grinning, shuffling, scratching, boot-licking, butt-licking slave. I'm a slave that don't give a damn about you, cracker. Don't care nothing about you. Don't give a damn whether I see another cracker or not. I want to be free. I'm a slave who wants to organize the rest of the slaves. I looked at the crackers on 125th Street. Some of you trembled when you saw them. I was inspired. I couldn't sleep. I was dreaming of confrontation with the enemy. Every slave must dream of confrontation with the enemy. I want to organize some black men. What would have happened if 500 black men would have showed up on 125th Street? I ain't talking about with no damn picket sign. Huh?
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. And this is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. I want to thank all my online listeners, all my listeners from overseas, my Friday night listeners on activatemedia.org out of Boston, Mass. And thank you all. Those who may be online listening and would like to call in, you can also call in and listen online, and that also gives you an opportunity to press the one if you would like to join in the conversation. Call in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. Tonight would be a good night to call in and really just express yourself, talk about things that's going on in your part of the country, you know, your neck of the woods, just something that may be on your mind, on your heart. It's one of those shows, if you want to call in tonight. It's not really going to cover any particular topic, just going to be, you know, open talk, open discussion, hoping to have a few callers call in and we can get a good dialogue going. And, you know, I'm going to try to keep it interesting. I started with that clip for a particular reason, the Slave Theater, and I've listened to that clip several times before tonight, and I always just, you know, some of the ancestors prior to us who left so many words of wisdom and so many powerful, inspiring words to motivate us as well. And that's just one of those speeches that kind of motivate me every time I hear it. Kind of, you know, gives me that spark, that fire to keep pushing, you know. Yeah, I am a slave and owning that. And sometimes, you know, we have to own who and what we are. And as black men and black women, we should be proud to own who and what we are, because can't nobody own what we've been through better than we have owned it, better than we have maintained it, better than we have continued to move forward with it. And also just our resilience in itself, our resilience speaks for itself, you know. And those words in that particular speech, I pulled that off of YouTube, you know, just kind of, I don't know, make you look at you and who you are. And it may even make you ask the question why, you know. But we all know by now the reason why. Really, I think the bigger question is, you know, when will we truly act, you know, accordingly? When will we truly, you know, stand up for self? And like I say, a lot of the things that we do, we have to realize and also recognize that the things that we're doing are not going to be for our enjoyment, not going to be really for our benefit, but for the enjoyment and the benefit of those behind us, and in hopes that they will see what we're doing, how we're moving, how we're building, how we're growing, how we're uniting, and keep that movement alive, and not only keep it alive, make it bigger and better than we ever thought it could be, because that's truly what our hopes should be about. Our hopes and our thoughts and our actions should be about bettering the condition for those behind us. Let me go ahead and throw this in, like I say in every show, because we need each other. And And for those who are closer to my age, we need these young people more than they need us. They need us, true enough, but we need them more than they need us. And we're going to need them more than they need us. They need our direction. They need our wisdom. We need their everything else. And we need them to be on point and focused and on a collective mission. And this is what we've got to really start giving. This is why I say our wealth, our true wealth lies in what we give back to our youth and how much of the truth that we give back to them. That is going to be their true wealth, in knowing how to maneuver and how to handle the enemy. Like Brother Khalid Muhammad said, he studies his enemy, you know, and I try to do that too, to the best of my ability. And we have all got to get in the habit of that. And not only that, we don't have to teach our children to hate anybody, but we our children to be cautious of those who dislike them. We can teach our children to defend themselves against those who may come up against them for no reason, most definitely. And this is why I say we have got to be the ones who give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the courage and the strength and everything that they're going to need to fight this particular devil. and we all know who that is. We sit and watch this America for long enough to know who our natural enemy is, who our true enemy is here, and then those who choose to make themselves our enemies, those who choose to come here and side with the power structure. And just because you see those who are in power does not make their power just, does not make their power righteous. It doesn't make it right. And nothing about this America is right or just, period. So this is why I say it's important that we give our youth true wealth, which is knowledge. You know, we've got to stop hyping our children up to get in front of the cameras. We got to stop hyping our children up to dribble that ball, run that ball, pass that ball, hit that ball. You know, we are so much more than just their damned entertainment. Sing, boy, sing, girl, dance, boy, dance, girl, all that. You know, we know we can do that. We've been doing that ever since we've been here. That is the side that we need to let go of first, because that entertainment, that Hollywood shit doesn't benefit us. It doesn't benefit those of us who are here on a grassroots level. And you know, I didn't watch the Grammys. I don't really watch that mess, those ritualistic shows that they put on. I just feel like those are ways that they are worshiping their God, and you know, the more that we keep participating in it, we're complicit, you know, and I just refuse to be complicit with a system that doesn't do shit for us. And we have got to start looking at it in that way. I'm not trying to condemn any one individual, but I'm condemning a whole damn system. And just so happens some people that participate in this system looks like me. That doesn't make me appreciate them any more than I appreciate anybody else within that system. Your Beyoncé's, your Jay-Z's, your LeBron James. You know, we get so excited about Beyoncé being the most winningest Grammy of all time. So what? How does that help us? What does she do to help us? Nothing. She just went to Dubai, I believe it was, and was paid like $24, $25 million for whatever it is that she does. We put so much faith and clout in these entertainers, and this is the same woman who said in one of her songs how she would take pages from the Bible and use it to soak up her menstrual cycle with the pages of the Bible. These are lyrics in one of her songs. But these are the people that some of us choose to go to. And then it kills me to see so many of these brainwashed young girls, this beehive, as they call themselves, you know, these followers. It just bothers me to see followers, period. And then when you're following devil like Beyoncé, yeah, that's what I said, and I said that and meant that. A devil like Beyoncé, well, yeah, that's problematic. And then these individuals get fighting mad, be ready to do something to you for talking about a woman who ain't perfect, who really, to me, can't sing, just, you know, a name. And somebody that this system has put on a pedestal. Therefore, we should all be happy that we have her, and we should all bow down to her. And Jay-Z, I'm not even going to lie. I used to be a big fan of hip-hop, watched hip-hop grow up. It's 50 years old. I'm 53. Hip-hop really grew up with me. Jay-Z used to love some of his earlier music, and then I watched him evolve and how he started doing the people that were closest to him. And this is when you know that the devil is getting in their ears. Like, they start pulling away from those individuals that they started out with. There was a lot of that in hip hop that took place once the devil got into it and saw the money potential in it. And then that started causing a whole lot of rifts and division against groups of brothers and young sisters and brothers and individuals that were really doing something in an art form fashion and for the love of it, hip hop. It was really an art and a whole movement, a whole vibe. And now it is nothing cultural about hip hop like it was in its beginning stages. And in its rawest form, hip-hop is to me now garbage, because it's all paid off. Pretty much chant music is what I call it now, because you get a bunch of mumbling and then you get a hook. And then everybody's singing the hook, but don't nobody know what none of the bars are. You know, there's no art form to it. There's just an individual up there on that stage who's being paid money to create divisive music. There's no fun in hip-hop like it used to be. Hip-hop was a release. Hip-hop was really, like I say, a culture. You had the street art side. You had the break dancing. You had the MCing. You had the DJing. So many different aspects. And then in the beginning, you had so many different genres that came into play, and they were all so fresh, so new. We allowed this system and these devils to get into that. How many times have we created something that has generated billions for those that control it? But for those that create it, they barely are living, you know, and it's always been that way. Just in America, that's nothing more than the same plantation mentality that we have been subject to since we've been here. You know, yeah, the slave get up and bust his ass from dark AM to dark PM. And reaps none of the benefits, gets nothing but the scraps. And that's what America has always managed to do and been able to do and remain successful at doing it. And then I can't help but lay some of the fault on ourselves, because we allow it to continue to happen. We allow them to keep us divided. And that's something that we owe to ourselves to fix. We can't win divided. We can't unite divided. Divided and united is two opposite things. We got to get more collective minded. And then, like I say, we have really got to start regaining control of our youth, reconnecting with our youth, reestablishing hopes, giving them hopes, giving them dreams, letting them know that they can be the movers and shakers. They can be the changers, and they can be the ones to make things how they want them to be. They can control their destiny, and we have to grill that into them, as opposed to all of this negativity that society tries to drill into our young people's minds. The first one being that they're nobody, that they're nothing. More than bitches, hoes, drug dealers, thugs, and all of that, when they're so much more than that. And that in itself tells you just how powerful we are. They are trying to gain control of our young people, because they don't want our young people to be able to think critically. They don't want them to be able to think for themselves. They want our young people to always be relying upon them, not themselves, not each other, but them, the system. And then this system can give and take as they please. And in the meanwhile, we're still in control of nothing, only giving the illusion that we're in control of our neighborhoods. We're not even in control of the homes and the land that we buy and purchase. There's so much that we've got to really learn and get adapt to, and then we've got to start doing it on a collective with a collective aspect, and not we've got to get off of this selfish shit that we're on, that shit that's holding us back. We've got to start practicing selflessness, something that the ancestors did, helping each other, reaching back, pulling each other, and knowing and finding the ones that needed that push, that pull to come on up the ladder. And, you know, there were individuals that looked out for one another in that fashion, and we got to get back to those old school ways. And it's just so essential that we put that same fear. We got to get our kids back. We got to put that same fear in these kids that those adults and grown-ups put in us. That fear is respect. That fear, because I used to, with my first wife, and she had a son as well, and I treated him just like I treated my boy. And yeah, I'm harder on boys, especially because we need men out here. So, you know, in turn, what I'm saying when I say we've got to be the ones to give that old school knowledge back, it's just that old school teaching. Just think back to when we were younger and there was an adult, may not have been even a family member, but there was always adults that were around that you could talk to. There were always adults that were telling you this and that, and we thought that they were preaching, but that was just concern. We got to get back concerned about our young people. They are worth it, and we need them. And like I just said, like I said earlier, we're going to need them more than they're going to need us. Because, see, we headed in a direction that they're not. They're just getting started while some of us are on the downside, you know, of life, and where we're going to need them take care of us to make sure that we're getting the best that we can get. And we've got to make sure that we're giving them the best that we can give them. And we've got to start looking at things in a manner of, how can I leave this in a better way than I found it? And not just let that be some phrase that we say, but truly put the action and the energy into that. And just like I was saying earlier, that if our young people start seeing that in us, we're giving them wealth, because we're giving them an option. And that's what our youth deserve just as much as any other. They deserve options. They deserve opportunities. And we have to start thinking in the terms of being the providers of that opportunity, giving them options other than systematic quick fixes like the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, where you put your life on the line just to get a start at life. And that's why most young people do it. Let's just be realistic. You know, most people, young people, join the military. I was going to do it, Air Force. Why? Because in the little town I was in, wasn't really no jobs you could, you know, the few plants that were in the small town I was in. Well, you got to know somebody to know somebody to get in there. And then I ain't never been no kiss ass. So, you know, if that's required to get a job, a position, I'm going to do that. And that happened a lot, you know. But we got to start building our own businesses. And times are changing. And times are changing fast. Things are getting more technological. And we've got to start being a part of that. And we've also got to start encouraging our young people to be a part of that. Getting the knowledge. Like my great granddad used to tell me, rest in peace, Big Daddy. And he used to always tell me, new, get it up here. Because when you get it up here, can't nobody take it. And I still run with that. And I still try to gain knowledge in everything. I try to stay, you know, in tune with this new technology and all the new stuff. You know, it's kind of hard keeping up with all of it, but try to do my best with it, you know, staying on top of it. It's interesting. But we've got to get our kids interested in something other than, like I say, being entertainers. I don't give a damn about these entertainers. Like I was saying earlier, you know, they got us out here right now distracted with Beyonce. And then, you know, a couple of nights after that, LeBron James breaking a record. So what? So what? We got to start looking past that Hollywood mess and that entertainment mess and start thinking real world. And what can we do to change the condition for those of us that are down here? See, because them Hollywood entertainers and actors and all them, they ain't down here with us regular folk. They involved in something totally different. They are doing something totally different and living a lifestyle that's totally different. And like I was saying earlier, Beyonce, one of the songs she was talking about using Bible pages to as a you know, pad during her menstrual. You know, and then these are the individuals that they parade in front of us to idolize. And we do it. We cannot idolize man and then claim to love the Most High. We cannot idolize human, woman, man, and then, no, it don't work like that. And see, right now, like I say, it's more than just white and black. We got to look at right and wrong and look at all the wrong shit that's happening in this world right now. It's a lot of things that are so wrong, and who speaks up against them? Nobody is speaking against them. People are scared to speak out against what's wrong. People are actually scared to say what's right because they don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to be blackballed or whiteballed or excluded, you know. So they go along to get along. And that's why I say we got a world full of followers. We got to start giving our children the knowledge to lead, the knowledge to cut new paths. And it's such an easy, I sometimes sit and think and sit, and when I'm just in thought, how easy this could be, you know, because how effortless some of this, some of the things that we could accomplish don't require much effort at all. It simply just requires us having a different action, putting forth a different action. You know, it would require us changing a few habits, you know, maybe doing without a few luxuries. Maybe having us, you know, wait a day or two for something as opposed to going right out to Walmart or Target getting it, because we're using a black-owned website to buy from black-owned businesses. By simply just supporting one another, by simply recognizing the fact that we need each other, the sooner that we can recognize that fact, the sooner, the faster that our condition could change and would change. And see, these are the kind of riches, knowledge, wisdom that we need to start instilling in our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so that when they hit these times in life, they can look back and say, oh, well, Papa told me what to do when this happened. And not even hit the panic button and keep it right on moving forward. Because that's the thing. No matter what's happening, no matter what the struggle is, we can still manage to move forward. We just don't move forward collectively. We don't move forward as a unit. Excuse me. We are very strong individuals, and I've made this scenario on video several times by holding up my four fingers and a thumb, because we are all strong individuals, and I know five strong individuals, but when we come together and make that fist, we become powerful. And see, we got to stop. We've all got to be leaders, but at the same time, we've got to learn how to work through the disagreements. We've got to learn how to work past the disagreements, because we're not monolithic. We don't all think alike. We don't all move alike. But we've got to learn how to move together in order to get what it is that we want. So we've got to start learning how to think past the disagreement and stop taking that shit so personal and taking it to heart and just say, hey, well, you know what? Yeah, this, that, because ain't no one way the right way. If that was the case, we wouldn't be in the position that we were in now, still looking for the answer. Still looking for the answer. You know, so what is it that we can do? We can start giving some of this to the youth. Giving some of these, let that young mind go to work. That generation that's weaker but wiser. And that's why I say we've got to be the ones to take the weak out of that and give them the knowledge, the wisdom, the riches. Like I say, that's our wealth. That's the wealth that we need to be passing down, and stop worrying so much as financial. If we do what we need to do, that financial aspect will come with doing what we need to do. Then our wants, we can stop wanting. If we start doing what we need to do, we won't have a want. And then the things that we need will be readily available. And then we can watch these young minds get excited about what they see happening. Not what's being talked about, but what they see. And they'll want to be a part of that. See, this is what we've got to start thinking about. How is it that this system and that this world can keep their minds so captivated? Because this world is showing them things. And we need to start showing them things that we can do. Stop allowing TikTok to get rich off of these ideas. Our young talent. Instagram getting rich off of our young, off of other people's ideas, off of other people's work. And we've got to start teaching our young people how to sell and market themselves without these platforms, cutting the middleman out. Because if these platforms can't afford to pay our children money to do the things that they do on these platforms, best believe they're making good money. YouTube as well, you know. And I've heard, you know, some of the content creators make, you know, decent living. I've heard some of the content creators make six figures a year, in which I'm not a hater. But my thing is, why not create our own platforms where that young person can bring their material to a platform that the people look like them, and then not going to take 50% of the money, you know, make it to where these, you know, people, these young people can get 90% of their money, 95% of their money. But I can guarantee you with Instagram and YouTube and TikTok that, you know, these kids are getting scraps. And like I say, if they can afford to pay people six figures, just imagine what they're making. Because they're putting ads within the content, you know. So they're getting paid for these ads. So these are just, like I say, simple things that we could do that are effortless. And some of these things, like during the pandemic shutdown, was a perfect time. I kept saying this is a perfect time to start bringing in new ideas, you know, because things are in a state of change. So we've got to start taking advantage as well, you know, and being entrepreneurial in spirit and in mind as well, you know. And how can we monetize? And like I say, we can't make it all about money, but yet and still, we can refocus and rebrand ourselves. Like I was saying earlier in the show, talking about the creation of hip-hop. You know, heck, the generation that created hip-hop is still around. I was part of that generation and had some very intellectual minds then and now still, you know. And like I say, we need to start giving that same kind of spirit that created hip-hop, we need to start passing that spirit down to the young people behind us. Just that grind set mindset, where you grind for it. You appreciate it more when you see it developed after you have put that work in for a year, 2 years, and then you finally see it come to fruition. You have a different appreciation for it, you know, as opposed to just clocking in and going to work for somebody and making somebody else's dream manifest. We got to get off the time clock, you know. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm just having to look at the clock and see that I done talked for about an hour. I'm going to take a quick break here and regather my breath. Like I say, this is just the open show tonight, really. I'm not talking about any specific topics. It's a lot, so much going on I've been covering, so I just wanted to, like, do a really just like an open show tonight, have people call in and, you know, just have a little dialogue. But, you know, I can get long-winded at times. Like now, didn't mean, had no intention of talking this long, but want to thank all of you all who are listening right now. I'm going to take a quick break. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr., and we'll be back.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. We teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here, the white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And then the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. All right, if there's anybody that's online listening, would like to call in, be part of the show, call in numbers 914-205-5538. Again, call in numbers 914-205-5538. You're more than welcome to just listen. You'd like to jump in, make a comment, you can press the 1 and I'll open up your microphone and allow you to speak. Just really, like I say, not really on a specific topic. I sat and watched last night I didn't watch it, but heard little excerpts from Tuesday night's State of the Union. Okay, I got a couple of callers. I'm going to open y'all mics up in order I saw you. And not impressed because Joe Biden is, you know, the administration. America is in shambles right now. I'll just say that. You know, Joe Biden is trying to be the Ukrainian savior. They didn't have money for reparations, but they have found billions of dollars to pump into this war. And not only that, train Ukrainian troops as well. You know, so, you know, this Biden administration, just like all the others before it, are, you know, not doing anything for black people in America and are only concerned about those who look like them and those in that financial, you know, wealth range to obtain, you know, preferential treatment. I'm going to open up your mic, number 3736. I saw you raise your hand. And then 4823, I'm going to open you up. But like I was saying, with Biden and Harris, we're getting the same thing we got with every president before Biden and Harris, even Obama. You know, we always end up with nothing but a promise. And like I say, so many things that they can tell us that they can't do, but if we sit back long enough, we see that they can do it. They just don't do it for us. All right, 3736, thanks for calling in.
Greetings, Melvin. How are you?
I'm good. I can barely hear you, sister.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's better.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, how are you? Haven't been able to be on the panel in a minute, but good to be here tonight. And everything, I was just listening to you and everything and agreeing with what you're saying. You talking about that, I didn't see the State of the Union, so I just heard you speak on it because all of it is a lot of poppycock anyways. And that Biden, his name is doing what he said it is. It's trying to bind us and keep us binded, you know. And don't want us to elevate or whatever, but that's a lie. So they can forget that because we're elevating and they got to move out of the way, period. It's like, you know, at this point in time, we know what this system is, and we know that this system has, isn't, and never been for us. And it's a sick shame that they continue to try to step on us and you know, abuse our people and whatever else they're doing through their monetary gains and their capitalistic society and out of their blood and gore and all this old stupid stuff that they keep on doing. You know, Mina, we always have this conversation about, you know, how did I say it? Sister, you might can help me out. How we have these conversations about what these people are doing, and we are actually looking and seeing everything and their tricks and things of how they're using us against each other. What you said a little while ago about the entertainment industry, all of that is just a distraction, and whatever they use to keep us under control through their media outlet, they keep putting that out there. First time I heard what you said a while ago about Beyonce, I didn't know that because I don't even listen at her. I mean, I try to stay away from that mess or whatever. But wow, that to me, all this stuff is just rituals to keep people spellbound. So I think the quicker we will see that none of this stuff or all this stuff is a bunch of you know what that's all it is. And, you know, we need to widen and keep on going. I'm just sick of all of it. I really am. And I think we all are. We're just tired of it. And the quicker we realize that, you know, it is a lot of, and we just going about our business, we're going to be all right. Because I believe that we are coming together. It might not look like we're coming together, but a lot of us are on the same page. We all know what's going on. And everything, the ones that don't know what's going on, is not awake of what's really going on. We can't worry about them. We just got to keep doing what we can do and what we're supposed to do in order to elevate ourselves to come out of this stuff. And I think everything else and everyone else will fall into place when the leaders continue to do what we're supposed to do. And we don't have to be in the media or anything like that to continue to do what we need to do to rise above these atrocities. So, yeah. So that's it.
All right. Let me open up 4823. I'm going to open up your microphone. And are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone listening. Hello, Melvin. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, sister?
I'm doing good. Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, I was listening. I like the direction that we're heading with the way that we're thinking. I think you're absolutely right about our young people and how we need to start showing them that we need to stop thinking so systemically. We need to not think in the system anymore. You know, when it comes to creating jobs and everything, I read something. It was a little story that I think, I don't know, someone sent me, I think, or did I send it to someone, where they were talking about the possibility of bringing certain classes back to the school system. But then they said, and then, you know, maybe we can start our own schools and trainings. But then they turned around and said, and then try to get them approved for college credit. And my first thought was, that's not what we should be doing. We need our own schools and trainings in addition to the public schools, because right now most of our children are still in public school. But we need our own trainings that have nothing to do with the public system. You know, if we bring mechanics back, if we were to start this little weekend training or mentorships, say, you know, with mechanics or wood shop or whatever, there's no need why we need to even try to make that a part of their system. We just need to go ahead and hire people amongst ourselves and do it like that. And I did not watch that State of the Union thing. I didn't have time for that. And as far as Biden. I think Sister Soleimani mentioned that his name is doing exactly what it said, and I agree. And I think that the man's name should be pronounced exactly like it's spelled, which is Biden, because we need to tell him, Biden, get on out of here.
I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just a distraction is what it is, all of it. Because they're covering up for something else and that people can't see, you know, behind the door. But, yeah, they think they're smart, but we're figuring out everything. So
you know what I think they're covering up for, Melvin? And Queenie, you already know.
I know what they're covering up for.
Yeah, they're covering up the fact that we really are together. Everybody you talk to, if you talk to people individually on the street, most of the people that you talk to are going to be talking on the same level that we're on. That's the reason why they're ramping up the distractions. That's what they're trying to cover up. Like you said, we don't have to worry about the people who are still asleep. Just we don't, because every day new lights are being turned on every day. That's what they're trying to cover up with all these stupid distractions.
Mm-hmm. And the fact
they
that
got men.
Man... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, just to show you how crazy they are with the distractions, they got men trying to tell women how to be feminine and women trying to tell men how to be masculine. That don't even make sense.
It don't make no sense.
But those are the distractions that they're throwing out there to keep people arguing and bickering amongst each other. That's how
mm-hmm.
they're trying to put it out there that we're
so
still separated.
So they can buy time to try to figure out what they, you know, what they want to do to continue to keep us down. I am just tired of them trying to have their leg on somebody's neck and stuff. I'm just over it. Like, you know, I always tell you this. If it wouldn't pay for me to have the complete palace of baby, I'm going to look at them, they're going to burn up. Period.
Well, you know, it's always been in their plan, and I'm going to open up your mic, 8680. Yeah, it's always been within their plan to keep the black man and the black woman apart. I heard it said, and I just started laughing because it made a lot of sense to me, but it was like whatever we was doing when that white man walked up on us and found us, it had to scare the shit out of him because he been working and doing his damnedest to keep us apart ever since he found us. And I just kind of laughed and I was like, you know what, that's funny, but that makes sense because, yeah, we was doing something. Like, whatever it was some supernatural something they saw that scared them. And it's like, yeah, we can't never let them come together and, you know, stay together on that level because look at what they can do, you know. And even through the, you know, the struggles and shit they, you know, take us through here in America, we still manage to take a step forward, even though if it's not as collective as it needs to be, we're still progressing, but not in a collective fashion. 8680, appreciate you calling in, brother.
Hey, how's everybody doing, Brother Ozzy?
All right.
You okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, all right. Now, peace and blessings to everybody. No, I think that, you know, you all made very good points of what you were saying. I didn't watch the, what do you call it, the State of the Union. I didn't watch it either because my thing is, you know, we can't expect our enemies to talk black to us or do anything for us. And I think that's the trick bag that a lot of black people get caught in. We start expecting, you know, our enemy to do something for us at the same time while they're trying to get rid of us, you know. And, you know, my thing is you're never going to get rid of us, you know. And black people keep rising, like brother just said, incrementally we keep rising. But by the same token, we're at the same spot we were back in 1850. You know, so that should be ringing alarm bells. If you're a black man in America, that should be ringing alarm bells to you. And my thing is that, you know, like Chris said, you know, we can't wait on them to put these vocational training back in the school. We have to start doing it ourselves as a community, you know. And I hate to always use other communities, but I'm even, if you look at the Jewish community, their children go to school almost 24/7. And it's not through the state. It's through their community. Once they get out of regular school, they got to go to school to learn about their culture. We don't have that. We've assimilated so much into this, you know, quote-unquote European country and European ways. We've assimilated so much that I'm starting to see more and more of the degradation that goes on in European sets, in the black sets now. I'm starting to see that, and it's disturbing. And I'm like, I'm thinking about, you know, my children. You know, I got 4 boys and 2 girls, and I'm thinking about them, you know, as being adults, young adults. I'm like, damn, I was like, it's got to be hard for them out here. You know, and I'm thankful that, you know, me and their mothers was able to teach them, you know, teach them well, and, you know, teach them to be their own person, teach them critical thinking skills so they can see some of this stuff that's going on and basically avoid it. You know, but unfortunately, a lot of our youngsters don't have that. But by the same token, a lot of our young people are more on top of things just from the stuff that we talk about on these shows, you know, and the stuff that we might be talking about out in the streets. A lot of them are more on point with what needs to be done. And my thing is, until our people get a clue and see what really needs to be done and put the will behind what needs to be done, man, we in trouble. That's all I can say is we are in trouble with what's coming down the pipe now. Because y'all notice, you know, the D.C. Council, they just passed a bill to let immigrants vote now. So California passed a bill to let immigrants be cops now. You know, these anti-black immigrants coming across the border are going to be your new police officers.
Yeah, that's what we've been hearing they trying
sense.
To do. You know what? That's when the brothers need to step up, though. Like, no. Like, if we're going to have some, because we're not going to let these people be policing us and everything. We tired. Like, what? You going to stop me? No, brother. You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But that's an attack.
Sister, we at war, and some of us don't realize that we at war.
Right.
We are at war for the survival of our people at this point. They are really trying to get rid of black people in America.
Right.
They're really trying to displace us.
Right.
And, you know, Biden didn't say anything about helping black people, and I didn't expect him to, and I don't expect any white politician to. But my thing is that, you know, since we're playing the voting game, they want us to play the voting game. The voting game is this. If you don't do nothing for my people, then my people not voting for you. We not voting for you, period.
We not voting no more at all. Like, we're tired of their whole system. We're voting for ourselves and get ourselves up out of this thing. But have anyone ever looked up the word?
That's what it's going to have to be.
You're right. Have anyone ever looked up the word state and union and put those two words actually together, saying that better?
What you coming up with?
Okay, then. So the state, okay, it says the first one is the particular condition that someone or something is in at a specific time. And then the second one is a nation or territory considered as an organized political community under one government. Now, listen at that again now. A nation or territory considered as an organized, there's a word organized, political community under one government. Now, let's go to the word union. Because I think we're missing some things on some of this stuff. Okay, now, union is the action or fact of joining or being joined, especially in a political context. A club, society, or an association formed by people with a common interest or purpose. There you go right there. That don't have nothing to do with us. Those people, state of the union, they put it in our faces and making people allure that it's addressing the world, but it's actually only addressing those people who are in their society, those people that is the United Nations, of them. That's all that is. That don't have nothing to do with us. At all.
I've been saying this system ain't for us, but really, Joe Biden put his foot in his mouth a few months ago and really told a secret he wasn't supposed to tell, because he was talking, I believe he was talking to the people of the Congress, but he was like, when the Constitution says we protecting, we the people is the government. We the people, it doesn't even include the people of the unions. We the people is the government and those government officials, those congressmen and those representatives of the House and shit, you know. So, yeah, this government,
political party,
this government and the system is really just like a corporation, a business, you know. You got your CEOs and those who are in charge, and you got everybody else following direction. And honestly, it's busted. It ain't really never worked, because it really was never meant to work. It was only meant to leave those in power and those who are in power in power. It wasn't meant to work for the betterment of for all of America and all of those who are in America. It was only meant to work for a select few and protect a select few. So, you know, like I say, this system has always been flawed, and honestly, we need to be teaching our children how to work around this system, you know. Right. and really withdraw themselves from this system, because it doesn't benefit them. Just like I've been saying for the last few months, why do we keep paying taxes? You know, we out here getting killed. Ain't nobody getting justice. Who's representing us? Nobody. You got these Negroes, Crump and Merritt, running around here, and they, to me, if you ask me, complicit with the whole system, because they ain't getting us no justice. All they getting people is paid, that hush money, you know, and money ain't bringing none of these folk back, and money ain't bringing no justice. So we got to really start prioritizing, too. Some of the people in these cases, their integrity got to be bigger than this fucking money that they getting offered. Because ain't nobody going to offer me no amount of money to not talk about my loved one, to not be able to say his name for so many years and all this, holding me at bay just because I took their little hush money. And see, that's the thing.
Right.
Some of us get so caught up. Exactly. Some of us get so caught up in the money that when they can offer us crumbs and we'll take it because that's the most money that we've ever saw in our life, you know, at one time. And sometimes that's overwhelming to people. Just like the rat killer that set up Fred Hampton to get killed. If I'm not mistaken, and I read right, and then I think I heard him say it in that documentary too, but over the course of him and Fred Hampton, I think they said he made maybe a little over $200,000. So that's no money. And then he was responsible for the death of a man. So, you know, like I say, some of us take that dollar and we'll sell our integrity, we'll sell our soul for that dollar, you know. So I have no respect for a man who doesn't hold himself and his self-respect and his integrity more than he, you know, no more than a dollar amount. Because those people... Anybody that can be bought out is a dangerous person, period.
Right,
period.
Right.
Because he can always be offered enough.
That's right.
You know.
Well, remember they tried to buy Malcolm, and he wouldn't take their money, and that's one of the reasons they had to get rid of Malcolm, because he wouldn't take their money. And they couldn't bribe him. He stood on his square. You know, as much as I hate to say it, you know, a lot of folks do have a price. I ain't gonna say everybody, because you know I've seen people, you know, stand on their square and not move, no matter how much they offer. But unfortunately, a lot of people, especially within movements. You know, movements for empowerment, a lot of people have a price where they can be bought off, or either they have something on you that they can blackmail you with, you know, and that's why, you know, it's really good to really, you know, either keep your circle small or just, you know, basically just walk the straight line, you know, because, you know, even with, you can see that even with, you know, this blood money that they give these families, you know, the family don't get all that money. A lot of that money goes to the lawyers.
Yep.
You know, these dudes, they're not out here fighting these cases for free. So if they got a team of 20 lawyers working on your case and you get $10 million blood dollars for your relative, you know, you might only see $2 or $3 million, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's other costs that they charge you. And see, we never get to that part of it. We never go to find out, well, so-and-so family, they got $5 million. All right, but how much money did they actually get?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, was it really worth the life? You know, how are we putting a price on black life?
Right.
You know, and that needs to be the next T-shirt. Black life doesn't have a price. It's priceless, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they want to put dollars. They want to put dollars on black life. Well, you know, how much do you think it'll take to keep this family quiet? Oh, just break them off $3 million. They'll shut up.
Uh-huh.
Nah, I'm like you, Brother Melvin. If something happened to me in these streets, tear this motherfucker down. Excuse my French. I'm sorry.
No, you good. Don't be sorry.
But,
don't
you know,
LP5
you know, that's Well, you know, you never know. There might be children listening, so
I don't want to give
the little ones, you know, bad vibes. But my thing is that, you know, if we can't get around the fact that even with the whole Bruce's Beach thing, that made me mad because they gave their family $20 million, which was underpriced for Bruce's Beach, and then they ended up selling it back to the state. And I'm like, Bruce's Beach is probably worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And you let them shortchange you with $20 million, and then you're gonna turn around and sell it right back to the state of California.
Yeah.
Now they're gonna develop their land. They're gonna make billions of dollars off of Bruce's Beach. So my thing is that then they're gonna call it, turn around and say, well, that's your reparations. I'm like, nah, this is not how reparations is supposed to work. But I can't speak for everybody's family. But if they ever cut a check in my lifetime, I know what I'll do with my money. You know, and it won't be going out here, you know, buying rims or, you know, buying TVs or buying cars or all that. You know, I gave up my fancy cars years ago. You know, I'm humble in what I drive now. And people could make fun of it, but it gets me from point A to B. Whatever.
Right.
You know, I say, y'all put your dollars into different stuff. You know, I'd rather put my money into, you know, real estate or whatever. You know, but my thing is that, you know, if we can get our people to stop looking at so much at the material and get back to the spiritual and the village part of our life, you know, that's why we have so many children out here running wild in the streets. Because back when we was growing up, Melvin, you know that, you know, the neighborhood could whoop our ass if we got out of line.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no doubt.
Auntie down the street was going to handle that business if mom and dad wasn't around. But now these days, everybody's like, keep your hands off my child. You can't hit my child. You can't correct my child. I'm like, that's why you got youngins out here running wild in the streets. And all year
right.
up.
And we're not too far from those days. So that tells me that from the time that we grew up and Amy and all of them was onto us and whooping us, that wasn't that long ago. So when they was planting all these seeds to separate us and everything, you know, that was a thin line between, like they said, that was a thin line between love and hate. That was a thin line to being together and not together. We think we're not together. But I bet, I think we're together more than what we know. And we know that the children, in other words, what I'm trying to say, I don't think it'll take us that much to get our children back. Because if we hadn't been that far from where we were to where we are right now. Does it make sense? Are you following me? You follow me, Kim? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I'm following.
Mm-hmm.
I'm following because it doesn't make sense.
These children want somebody to tell them what to do. They want
they
somebody.
Do.
They respect it. Yeah, they respect
it. And they respect somebody that can tell them what to do and how to do. Really, how to do, because a lot of things they want to be shown how to do things. They don't really have a lot of real good examples right now.
Right.
I think that's just natural. And two, that's just natural order, you know, because, I can remember being a kid, you know, and then there are certain adults that you look up to as a child, you know, within your family and even, you know, outside your family, you know, there'll be adults that you look up to, you have a certain admiration for because of, you know, just their character, the way they carry themselves. I think too that we sometimes sell ourselves short because we don't feel that we're those adults. But we're those same adults that as children we used to look up to. Somebody's child is looking up to us, you know. looking at us.
Uh-oh.
So we've got to try to be the best example of a person that we can be, because sometimes that's what a child needs. And I think that all children need adults. I think that all children want adults, like you were saying. Yeah, I think all children want adults in their lives. They want to be liked by adults, you know, as opposed to being just discarded, you know. And I think that's what's happened over time. The system has discarded our children, and so have we.
And that's why some of the children are so angry and so rebellious, because when they know that people don't care about them or something, and they just letting the grown-ups are just letting the children do what they want to do, believe it or not, those children, they are furious. They are angry about that. Because I had one child when I was teaching school, and I still do, but what I'm saying is I was telling the class something about son or daughter. It was one of them I was telling. This was a long time ago. And if they would have did that, I would have, went upside their head. And the little boy said, "Miss, at least you care. I don't even have that. I can come in at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody cares." And children don't want that. If they're coming in at that time of the night or something, they would like for someone to say, "You know better than that. Why are you doing that? Why, you know you can't." You know, they want someone to be sitting up waiting on them. And people don't care. People don't care about these children, some of these children. But I'm just saying, yeah, they long for the love and they long for the care. They long for the correction and the teaching, to teach them something. So, yeah. And
we just had a 13-year-old boy up here in D.C. I don't know if y'all heard about it. He got shot by a neighbor. He was outside breaking in the cars at 4 o'clock in the morning. Then,
yeah,
his mother up here crying, talking about that the 13-year-old boy was the man of the house.
And I heard about that.
I'm like, you know, I'm really sorry that her son died like that, you know, but my thing is that for you as a mother not to really take any accountability for, you know, why is your child out in the streets at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, that part I couldn't accept. And then on top of that, I'm wondering, where was the boy's father, you know, and, you know, I'm just like, you know, this can't be black reality these days. But unfortunately, it is. And I'm like, you know, these folks really, you know, we really have to get some type of way to communicate with our children and let them know that it's a better way than to be out here taking stuff that don't belong to you. You know, stealing is stealing. I don't care what color you are. I don't care who you steal it from. Stealing is stealing. And that's something that, you know, children shouldn't be being taught, that this is the way that you have to survive. You know, even, no matter what position you might be in, you know, there's a way to work your way out of it. And on that, I yield.
Right, right. I did hear about that. The guy that used to be I can't think of his name, the guy that used to be in the group, the Ghetto Boys, he did a whole video about that very thing, about the mother making the comment that he was the man, like the man of the house, and he 13. And he talked about how that put a lot of pressure on him. And he said he was speaking from his own experience.
Yeah. And I didn't want to speak too harshly on the mom, because you just lost a child. So, you know, I have empathy for that. You know, I got children too. You know, even though mine are grown, I got, I can't imagine what that would be like, you know, to have to go through that. But my thing
well,
is like, you know, sometimes you have to own your own stuff, though. You have to own your own
mess. Yeah, he didn't
speak
against her.
You
he
know?
Did not. he didn't speak harshly against her, but he did warn a lot of mothers not to do that, because he said what a lot of mothers don't understand about their boys. And it's probably because of the difference between how men think and how males think and how females think. And that is, when you say certain things, it puts a different kind of pressure on the boy. We as women don't realize that, because we don't think like men.
Yeah, but my thing is that as black men, you know, we do it too, because we basically, we use a child's social security number and put it, you know, on a bill or something, or put it on a credit card to get a credit card, and now you're messing up that child's credit. And I'm like, you know, unfortunately, credit is something that you need to survive in this system, if you want to survive. Even though we're trying our best to move away from it, but the reality is that, you know, if you out here with a 450 credit rating and you're only 18 years old and they never had credit, and you go to fill out a card or something, you know, it's just messing you up. Even to get an apartment or to do anything, you know, unfortunately, that's the way the system is going. And like you said, I prefer to live off the grid if I could, you know. And my thing is that we need to be teaching our children survival skills, you know.
Right.
And like you all were saying earlier, ways to live off the system. We got to teach our children how to hunt again. You know, a lot of us grew up with fathers that hunted, that went out hunting, or learned how to fish or something. A lot of children don't know how to do that. A lot of men don't even know how to change a tire or change a battery in a car. And that's the shameful
right.
part. You know,
because
that's something you really don't need school for.
All
you need to do is know somebody with a car.
I think that falls back on our community.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was agreeing. But I'm serious.
No,
I think that falls back on our community, because for 20 years I have been preaching, knocking my head, and talking to these preachers, these churches, and everything. And I'm still saying the same thing I was saying. Why don't you all get together and get a day where you bring these children together and you have a mechanic class? Show these young men how to change tires. Show these young men how to, you know, have change batteries and things like that. No, nobody wants to do that. I mean, good
gracious
alive.
Okay, let me stop you. Since we are all of like minds here, let's do this. Let's make it happen. Let's go ahead and schedule set up such a class. Now, I know we're in Texas. I'm not sure where the other caller is located, but that's something
Washington,
that we can
D.C.
both do. I'm
right.
sorry?
No, I think
you know,
he's in
that's
Washington.
Something we can
the
do.
Man is in Washington.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did say Washington. Yeah, let's agree to do that. I mean, this is February. So by March or April, we need to be able to report back to each other and say, we had our class down here. We did a mechanic class. It doesn't matter if you don't have, but, you know, one, two, or six people. We don't mind, but what we need to do is just get it going. You know what I'm saying? So let's. I mean, I know I can do that with my platform. Just go ahead and set something up. We're already doing the fashion, the black and African influence on fashion next week, but that's for Black History Month. Now, for March or maybe April, we can go ahead and set up something like that.
Right, and like I said, I've been talking to the men, and that's all I would want them to do. I mean, you're right. We can maybe get with a mechanic or something, Kim, and set up something in mm-hmm. Dallas or whatever. You know, I'm between Dallas and Houston sometimes, so you know, like I'm serious. Like these children need skills on training, And it doesn't make sense to me that all of these preachers and people go to church every Sunday, but you can't come out of your, and I did, I actually pitched this to a church not too long ago. Won't y'all just bring the children outside and have a day where you just look on the hood and show children what this, this, and everything is? You know? Like, come
I
on
say
now.
If it not, as far as that
it
goes, just to, you know, get it going, even just, you know, get young men, young women who are interested, you know, getting them together on those Saturdays and maybe just having people come over and talk with them, sit with them, give them somebody that they can kind of vent to. Then once you get them coming and attending, you can ask them what their interests are, you know.
No,
and
that's not
then start, then start speaking with other adults, you know, in certain industries, in certain fields, and bringing them in on those Saturdays when mm-hmm. when we're all, when you know, when the meetings are happening. Because first thing is going to be getting the young people involved, you know, and getting
okay.
them in, and getting them in the building, you know.
No, you didn't know. I'm apologizing, Melvin. No, that's not going. No. Listen, if we go to church Sunday, say me and you, we go to church Sunday. Wait a minute, what else is the day? Day is Thursday, right? Say we go to church Sunday, right? Whoever is in that church on Sunday, them little children that's in that church, but when church is over, or even if church wasn't over, but it has to be a preacher that can get the, I'm just saying, even if we just had something, if those children just came, we don't need no plan. Something. Come on, y'all, let's go on outside. This is what we're going to do. It's just like a classroom. When your children come to that class that day, okay, y'all, we're going to do a project today. Today we're going to do this. You give them to them on a whim, not on a plan. Because when you start doing that, it doesn't work for our people anymore. It just don't work, because we could do that all day, every day, but that stuff don't work no more. You got to do this on a, like, a whim, like, just do it. Don't plan it, just do it. Like, say, you be under your car. I mean, you may have to even implement some type of created strategy to do it. Like, say, Mr., say you under your truck, say you go to Sulphur Springs on Saturday or something like that. So you out there messing around with your truck. There's a little boy over there just playing around. He might not. He might just be outside or whatever. Hey, little fella, you know, what's up? Just strike up a little conversation with him like that, and you say, you know, and everything. Just kind of break the ice. Then all of a sudden, you know, he said, what you doing, sir? Something like that. Or you say, oh, you know, I'm trying to fix this today. Man, I sure would like that. Next thing you know, I can do
it. I know
this.
Exactly
I can
what you're saying. What you're
you
describing.
You know, you're going to have to do something like
what
that to get them to my guard,
yeah.
Because this other stuff, with working with adults, because adults mind, they don't even think anymore. Like, they're like, you got to do, that ain't working. I'm telling you, that stuff ain't working no more. These people,
it
they
sound like
it today.
What you're saying is we need to operate from a place. In addition to doing the plan things, Melvin, I think what she's saying is sometimes you just kind of have to be impromptu and just reach out to people when you see, to the children, the young people, when you see them. Like
right,
people used
because
to.
I do it all the time. I do it all the time. And people just be looking at me like I'm just this one. Just let me get just a little bit. So one day I was down to my grandmother's, and my auntie, she had brought the children down there. So I noticed how they was on the phones and everything. I said, you know what? You know, y'all, let's just go outside. You know, let's go outside. We went outside. So they wanted to go outside. They decided to stay in the house anyway. So they didn't really act like they didn't know what they wanted to do or nothing like that. And I said, you know what? When we were little, we used to play red light, green light, you know, something like that. All of a sudden, they were like, what? You know, these are, and all of a sudden, we just started doing it. And then we played another game. The children got involved. Next thing I know, I'm having the children make something. Just make something. Show them how to do yarn, anything. I catch them off guard and just do it. Just do it. And they like, what? You know, we learned something today.
But you just have to be so careful.
You just have to be careful, though,
because some parents have raised their children to not to respond to situations.
We're talking about people in your neighborhood, though. We're talking about.
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying that
you have to know when and who to do it with. Like if I don't know his name in Washington D.C. Say he got a group. Say he got some men around him or whatever. Everybody just shooting a shot. They just talking like they meet up and have beer or something. That could be on the whim. Say, hey, y'all want to do this weekend or whatever, get together like that. When you catch people off guard, they don't know you actually planning it, but you doing it. Then all of a sudden, they're, oh, bring your nephew. Hey, why don't you bring your cousin? What you like that? That's how you do it. Come together. Just put it in your mind. It'll come together.
Yeah, you know what that sounds like to me?
That's the village. That's the village mentality.
Exactly.
That's what I was about to say.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Don't be afraid to talk to the parents because in a lot of cases, the parents might not know either. They might need to know, too. And, you know,
you can only teach what you know.
I can only teach my sons what I knew. And if I didn't know, then, you know, thankfully, I could either take it to Google and make them act like I knew or show them where to find the information at. You know, so, you know, a lot of people, they don't know what to do until you tell them what to do or show them what to do.
Bring the village back together without them even knowing that they're coming together. If you know how to be creative, you can bring the village together without even knowing what happened. And all of a sudden, they're together again. Because we have to work within our own circle. That's where we have to work. Because I can go out here and try to get people together right now. That's going to be the hardest thing in the world. But if I start within my circle, teaching what's at my fingertips, like I sub. So when I go in and I substitute teach, I like doing that because I can reach more people. It's going to be someone there or one of them children I'm going to be able to get to teach to do something or to ask me a question because I'm going to strike up a conversation with them some kind of way. When I strike up that conversation with them, they're going to want to know more. Then I take it from there. I'm teaching them indirectly, so I don't touch somebody or more than one or two students that day. Without having a plan, use what you got at your hand. We just have to be strategic because putting these people together is like pulling two from a mule right now. Like it's hard for us to gather together in big groups and organize things. Everybody just do it when you get the opportunity. It don't matter, cousin, little brother, little nephew. Just do it. And then they're going to tell somebody, oh, my auntie is doing this, y'all. How about this? Or something like that. Then before you know it, somebody's going to come. But that's the way we got to do it now, where we can't wait on nobody no more. If you got it, if you dare, you dare, just do it. That's it. So go to church Sunday or whatever. Do something. Talk to somebody.
Because we have to get back to skills. So there's no way in the world we're getting stuff together now.
The last time I had to do some plumbing work
around the house, and wifey had to help me. But you know, we were both learning, but we found out how to do it, and it was much better than paying a plumber to put that. Faucet. That it was a bathroom faucet that we had to switch out, and we both did it. And you know, I'm familiar with plumbing and how to do stuff, but you know, certain things I just had to go look up because I didn't know you know, everything about all the water pressures and stuff like that and how stuff works. So I had to go look it up. But I was able to do it with just putting hands on it. But see, I was raised in a
right.
different time where, you know, even when I was coming up, the cars that I had, I could work on those cars. You know, a lot of cars now have a little computer systems in them, so you have to be careful what you do when you get under the hood. But the basic stuff like
car.
Changing a battery or, you know, changing a tire, that stuff is still the same. Ain't nothing changed about that. And, you know, I remember one time, you know, I had a young man at my job, and he had a flat tire, and he didn't know how to change his tire. And I didn't fuck with him or laugh at him or joke with him or nothing. I went outside and said, come here, man, let me show you how it's done. And I talked him through it. I didn't put hands on. I was like, you know, I talked him through what to do and how to do it. And he was grateful.
Yeah.
He's like,
right.
man, nobody ever, you know, showed me.
Exactly.
I said the rule should be if you get a car and you don't at least know how to change a tire, you got no business having the driver's license. But that's just me, you know. So.
No, you did.
Y'all excuse my puppy in the background.
Good.
Y'all excuse him.
We saw the teach these
He's getting hyped
teach
up.
These children. Yeah, you did good. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Now, I talked about him afterwards, but I ain't talked about it before because I didn't want to discourage him.
Right.
But I let him know.
I said,
boy, if you had been on a date with a girl, she would have left you.
Right.
I know
we
if it was my daughter, I taught my daughter how to change the tire.
See there? That's good. I mean, I know
I
how to change
the
tire. I don't like
head.
Doing it, but I know
it,
how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody likes doing it, trust me. But my thing is,
right.
you got to at least know how to go under the hood and check your oil. You know. I
right.
don't care what year. I don't care if you bought a new car. You should always check your oil because you never know when, you know, something didn't get tightened right or the oil mine leaked out or you riding on low oil or they didn't put no oil in there. You know, you have to know at least, you know, how to go do that.
Right. It's just things like that, you know, and that's the way, like I said, you know, if we just work within our community because my auntie, he was telling me the other day that my grandpa, my pawpaw, his brother, which we call him Uncle Yes, he could not read or write, but he could put a car together just by just looking at it. He can put it together. So what he did is when he got down where he couldn't work on cars anymore, all the guys would be out in the yard, and he would tell them what to do. So my cousin now, we call his name is Jonathan. Jonathan, he got that skill. He can build. He can put together. He can listen to the car and tell you what's wrong with it. All because the men were out there in the yard building cars when we were little tight. I remember them under the tree. I remember them putting them cars together. And they just and then we got people in our family right now that still can do that. The young boys can do that. They can listen to that car and they can tell you what's wrong with it. Easy. Easy.
Yep, that's awesome.
And
that's awesome.
I'm telling you,
that's the village.
Can build a car.
That's the
literally
village speaking.
Build a car.
That's how the village speaks.
Exactly. And, you
even,
know,
even,
and I'm saying
even
that's
with the
what
young
we
ladies out here. Yeah, even with the young ladies out here doing hair, you know, that's something you got to learn. That's a skill you got to learn, you know, to do hair. And people don't realize that if you go, you know, back into the days when, you know, they kept us as slaves, that was the way that they was making mats to get out of slavery, was doing the braids and doing hairs and basically putting a map in a young lady's head to show you this is the way you got to go. You know, it's deep. And people don't realize that that's a learned skill. But it's a way that we communicated with each other, too, our hair. and it is so important. And, you know, we keep letting the society tell us there's something wrong with our black hair. And there's nothing wrong with our black hair. Our black hair is beautiful. You know, and that's something that, you know, that our young ladies, the skills that our young ladies can pick up so quickly, you know, it becomes natural, and it comes from the village. It comes from her learning from her mother and then passing it on to her girlfriend, and the girlfriend passes it on to her friend, you know. So, you know, we don't ever recognize that part of it. And, you know, I'm passionate about it because I love our young people. I hate to see people always talking bad about young black children. And I'm like, they're actually the hope for our future, you know. But we gotta pour these seeds into them so these seeds will grow. And on that, I yield.
All right, let me jump in real quick. I ain't got but 3 minutes left. I appreciate everybody. Thank everybody for calling in and keeping a dialogue going tonight. Thank those that called in and listened. I want to also thank all my overseas listeners and thank those that listened online. Thank my listeners in Boston, Mass, who will get this show replayed Friday on activatemedia.org. Like I say, tonight was just an open show. Had some good dialogue tonight. Like I say, thank all you for calling in. Ozzy, Queenie, and Sister Kim, thank you all. I'm going to try to get back on here next Monday. I'm trying to get back on my regular schedule, but been kind of wishy-washy, but I'm going to get back on a regular schedule, but I'm going to at least keep trying to bring a show a week. Next week, I'm thinking I want to talk about, I've really been talking about policing, and I think I want to kind of stay on that subject, especially in light of what we've all saw in Memphis with the Tyre Nichols case. So, you know, I'll send out the info, but I'm really wanting to dig a little deeper off into this, and as more information comes out, this case really just becomes more and more disturbing to me. The implications of what could have possibly been the cause of this young man's death is bothersome, and also speaks to police culture and abuse of power and authority. But, you know, it's nothing new when it comes to dealing with us. It's just something that needs to change. But that's probably what I'll be discussing on my next show. Like I said, I appreciate you all calling in, being a part of the night show. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, let's organize, and let's unify, because we all have a key. I'm out. I love y'all. And till next week, this has been the Panther Party Radio Network, and this has been The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. I'm out. Peace, power, love.
All right. Good night.
The blue skies go. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things ain't what they used to be. underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more will you from men? Can't you stand?